This is Eric Kendricks from the Minnesota Vikings, and you listen to SB Nation Radio.
Now back to SB Nation Radio, coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
It's time to head to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Let's continue talking about the bracket. Ricky O'Donnell, SBNation.com. College and pro basketball writer joining us here on the program. Ricky Mapperalt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the time. Let's start with a macro conversation and a macro look at the bracket. And in your opinion, because it is mine, that the, I don't know what to call the invention or the new look of the Big East and the American, where programs that used to be your, quote, mid-major at-large bid teams are now part of, you could make a case, seven power conferences in college basketball, that the idea that the little guy is getting squeezed out, it's a more difficult argument to make because of the makeup of the conferences today versus, say, 5 years ago. Is that fair?
Yeah, I do think that's fair. Certainly, I think a team like St. Mary's probably has pretty big gripe. They won 28 games this year. They had a better RPI than like Alabama, Missouri, Syracuse, Oklahoma. So there's always going to be exceptions to it, but I think, you know, as a general rule, you're correct with that.
Because to me, I mean, Creighton and Gonzaga and Wichita State and Houston, I mean, these are your teams that you normally would say, okay, they're coming out of whatever conference, mid-major conference, but coming out of the American and coming out of the Big East. I mean, Cincinnati's a two seed out of the American. There are two number one seeds coming out of the Big East. It's a lot more murky and a lot more difficult. And if I am a St. Mary's, doesn't that kind of signal that they have to follow what Wichita State did? I mean, Gonzaga can be there in the West Coast Conference, but shouldn't St. Mary's be really active trying to get out of that conference?
Yeah, there's no doubt, or at least try to do everything they can to schedule some tougher non-conference opponents. It's the same story with St. Mary's every year. It's like their entire season comes down to those two, maybe three Gonzaga games and whether or not they're able to get through the non-conference portion of the schedule perfectly. They weren't able to do that this year, and it cost them a bit. I mean, they're still ranked in the last poll that just came out by the AP. They're number 25, but they're the only team in that poll who didn't make the NCAA tournament. So I think St. Mary's definitely needs to reevaluate how it does business one way or another right now.
Wichita State last year in the Missouri Valley, a 10 seed. This year in the American, they get a 4 seed, probably the clearest indication that they really need to reassess where they are conference-wise. All right, so everyone's looking at the bubble. Everyone's arguing. But my big problem, I've got two big questions. One is Oklahoma and Syracuse, and the other is looking at USC and Oklahoma State. Those are my big gripes. Do you have gripes with who's in, who's out?
Yeah, I think USC, actually, the Trojans, are the biggest snub of the field. They had the highest RPI of any team ever left off the bracket. It was a team that went, I think, like 14-7 in Pac-12 play throughout the year, if you count the conference tournaments. They made it to the conference tournament title game against Arizona in the Pac-12. I just thought USC had a really solid resume altogether, and it was pretty surprising to see them left off. Syracuse being in, too, is kind of a bummer. It seems like every year Syracuse somehow sneaks in by the skin of its teeth, and it happened again this season. You could probably make the case for several teams over them. Oklahoma, I wanted to see them in the field because I wanted to see what Trae Young could do, but the way they ended the season was just horrific, really. And, you could certainly make a case they didn't deserve it.
Why do you think Syracuse got in this year, and why do they continue to be given the benefit of the doubt? Is it the ACC? Is it Jim Boeheim? Because their non-conference schedule, they went on the road and played one road game in the non-conference.
Yeah, I think, you know, their ACC play is certainly a big factor. Also, Syracuse just has a lot of money when NCAA is putting together this bracket. You know, Syracuse fans are going to pack the gym. I remember when they were a 10 seed 2 years ago, they played in Chicago at the United Center, and that place was full of Syracuse fans. And Syracuse ended up going to the Final Four that year. They're raising a big deficit from Virginia in the Elite Eight. So Syracuse just has a lot going for it, I guess, just in terms of a program the NCAA likes to put in the spotlight. And, you know, I don't know if that was a factor, but could have been.
Well, and that's where I come down on Oklahoma, Ricky, because I've been saying that, look, at the end of the day, this is a television show, and if you give the committee a reason to put you in, they want to put in the brand names and the stars, and that's where I come down on Oklahoma, where they just fell on their face down the stretch, but after they lost to Oklahoma State, I said they're going to get in because Trae Young is a star. Thus, Oklahoma got in, I think, because Trae Young is a star. Is it fair to remind people that ultimately, this is about TV ratings?
Yeah, it really is. But, I mean, Oklahoma had they were top five in the country for a significant portion of the year. Granted, so was Notre Dame, and they missed the NCAA tournament as well. Oklahoma did have a lot of those quadrant one wins that the selection committee said they were looking for this season. But I think you're right. I mean, ultimately, Oklahoma fell on its face at the end of the season. People still want to watch Trae Young. It's funny how much of a backlash there's been against Young. A lot of it, I think, because of the oversaturation of coverage from ESPN. But, you know, the one thing that could win people back over for Trae Young again would be that second-round matchup against Duke. If Trae Young could beat Duke, I think that he could win people over.
I totally agree. Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, covering college basketball for us here on Pushing the Odds. So let's talk about the bracket here, and let's start where Oklahoma is in the Midwest. You have Kansas as the 1 seed, Duke as the 2 seed, Michigan State as the 3 seed. That appears to be the most loaded of the 4 brackets. Do you agree with that, and is it fair if you're a Duke fan to be angry about who's in your bracket?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the hardest bracket. I mean, Michigan State and Duke, the potential Sweet 16 game, that could be a Final Four game easily. I was at their first game in Chicago when they played in the Champions Classic. That was one of the better college basketball games of the season. It feels crazy that that's going to be a Sweet 16 game if they can avoid the traps ahead of that. Kansas is the number 1 seed, is super tough too. I mean, the winner of that game having to go through Kansas is just so difficult, assuming Kansas can make it there. So there's no doubt the Midwest is the toughest region, and I can't wait to see how that plays out, especially that Duke-Michigan State matchup if we get it.
On the other side, you look at the West bracket, and that seems to be as wide open as any of the brackets are. I don't see a clear-cut favorite out of anybody, Xavier being the weakest number 1 seed, in my opinion. Carolina's had their issues, and you've got some other teams in there, like a Michigan that's hot but haven't played in 11 or 12 days once they get back onto the court. It seems like that could be a wide open where maybe even a 5, 6, or 7 seed gets out of there, right?
Yeah, totally. There's so many teams throughout this field that I would have picked to go to the Final Four in the West, but they just ended up being in harder regions. I ended up going with Gonzaga as the 4 seed in that to make it to the Final Four, just because I feel like they're the most balanced team and have the best combination of like size and athleticism, I would say, of any team in that region, but it's definitely wide open. I would not be surprised if Michigan can, you know, keep this 9-game winning streak going. Maybe they can make it through. Carolina, I actually like Carolina quite a bit this year because they have more shooting than ever before. Now, it's a team that doesn't have the size in size they had a year ago, losing Hicks, losing Kennedy Meeks. But Carolina spreads the floor with shooters, and if those shooters get hot, they can run through this tournament too. So I think the West is wide open. It's funny how everyone's sort of immediately discounting Xavier just because they are the weakest number 1 seed, but those passes isn't that hard.
Right.
You know, you can't rule out Xavier either.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got Gonzaga knocking them off, and I'm with you with Gonzaga winning the bracket. I think it's an interesting bracket for upsets potentially, but I mean, I think that Michigan-UNC game potentially in the Sweet 16 could be a ton of fun as well in the West. For number 1 seeds, Virginia, and for Villanova, they have to be pretty happy with their paths, right? They seem to have, pretty easy runs to San Antonio, right?
I mean, if I'm Virginia, I'm not liking that Arizona matchup in the Sweet 16, assuming Arizona can beat Kentucky in the round of 32. I do the instant bracket prediction for SB Nation. I put Virginia in the title game, but, man, I don't know. The more I think about it, like, I don't know how they're going to stop DeAndre Ayton. Now, granted, no one can stop DeAndre Ayton until he gets to the NBA, but, that Arizona team is really talented. They were top 3 in the preseason polls for a reason. Alonzo Trier is one of the best scoring 2 guards in the country. Raleigh Alkins being their 3rd best player just shows the sort of embarrassment of riches Arizona has at the top of that roster. I can't wait to see Ayton go to work against Virginia because I would not be surprised, assuming Arizona team would beat Kentucky, who's playing very well right now.
Right.
Arizona being the weakest 4 seed by the committee, I think that's pretty questionable. That's a stacked team.
How much people brought this up after the fact that we've seen, a lot of the teams that were on the bubble that were in the FBI investigation, the one big one being Arizona being in. But do you think that impacted some of the, when it came to a selection process as to if you're involved in this federal scandal, they really did not want to put you into the dance?
Yeah, I wrote about that today, and I think that, I don't know for sure, but I think it's certainly possible. I mean, Arizona being the weakest of the 4 seeds, I think, kind of ridiculous. USC, I think, is clearly the biggest snub. They were in 141 of 150 brackets in the bracket matrix. I thought USC had the best case to be in the tournament of any team that didn't make it. Louisville had the 2nd highest RPI ever for a team to miss the NCAA tournament. I don't really think Louisville deserved it, but they should have been close. And the committee had Notre Dame even ahead of Louisville. when I think Notre Dame's case is pretty questionable. Then you could even look at Oklahoma State. They had 10 quadrant one wins. They beat Kansas twice. They won at West Virginia. They beat Texas Tech. If Syracuse gets in, I feel like Oklahoma had a great case too. So I don't know if that's for sure. Did the NCAA penalize them, the FBI schools? I mean, who knows? But there's certainly a lot of, let's just call them coincidences when you look through the bracket.
It is a TV show. At the end of the day, you don't want that storyline being talked about. If you're CBS or TBS or whatnot or Viacom, you don't want to have your broadcasters having to address the FBI investigation. The NCAA doesn't want that either. So, yeah, I'm with you on that point. From a Villanova standpoint, I mean, you look at their bracket, and I think the Alabama game in the second round could be a really tough matchup for them, and maybe even West Virginia coming up in the Sweet 16. But I like Villanova to get to the Final Four. Do you?
Yeah, I love Villanova winning it all. They were my preseason pick, so I figured might as well stick with it. I haven't really seen anything that would dissuade me from picking Villanova. They have the best offense in the country. Jalen Brunson might be the National Player of the Year. He's the type of point guard you need to have a deep tournament run in March. I love Mikal Bridges' game. I have him as a top 10 draft pick in our mock draft today. He's just a perfect role player at the pro level, the college level, whatever it is, 3-and-D guy, elite defense with that long wingspan, very good three-point shooter. And Villanova just has so many like supplemental scoring options. They have someone like Dante DiVincenzo, Phil Booth. Those guys just come off the bench. They can pick up the offense when Bridges and Brunson aren't cooking. They also have Amari Spellman, who's the type of big man they didn't have last year. I can't believe he's a 45% three-point shooter this season. I saw him as a high school recruit. I thought he would be a quality low-post scorer, but instead he's turned into a legitimate stretch five. So Villanova, to me, has it all. Spellman's interior defense is sort of the one weakness. He's not a great shot blocker, so maybe they're a little vulnerable on the inside. But by and large, I think Villanova has it all, and, you know, we'll see. This team's built for Final Four bust, in my opinion. This is going to be their last year with Bridges, probably their last year with Brunson, so this is it.
Give me a double-digit seed in your mind that has the best chance of playing in the second weekend.
I would need to look through the bracket real quick to answer that question. I kind of like Charleston.
Yeah?
13 seed. They're playing Auburn. I feel like Auburn's pretty susceptible. The winner of that game gets Clemson, New Mexico State. I don't think Clemson is super tough. New Mexico State could win that game. So that could be a case where we have like a Charleston versus New Mexico State matchup in the round of 32 and the winner gets through. Wouldn't be surprised about that.
Yeah, I'm down on the SEC and some of the middle to bottom ACC teams in this tournament. How do you feel about those two conferences?
Yeah, the SEC had, you know, probably one of the better basketball seasons in recent memory with so many teams making the field, but there was never a clear-cut juggernaut at the top of that conference. I feel like Auburn, they had an amazing season for sure, especially in the face of the FBI investigation, especially losing Austin Wiley, who was supposed to be their best player this year, to a suspension. But, I mean, that team's not putting fear in anyone, I don't think. Then you look at Kentucky, they're playing hot lately, but they were a bit underwhelming the whole season. They just don't have much shooting. I thought they basically started four power forwards for the entire year. So I think the SEC is, they're a little vulnerable heading into this tournament. The ACC is hard to poke holes at the top of the conference. In the second half of the conference, I think you're right. There's not too many teams that are going to strike fear into the heart of their opponents. But we'll see. I mean, the ACC typically tends to perform really well in the NCAA tournament, so this will be another test of that.
Yeah, I'm really curious. I'm not liking Arkansas, and I'm not as high on Auburn or Tennessee as other people, and I'm not just Clemson in that run. I'm not positive on those guys either. Ricky, we're out of time, bud, but thanks for the time today. Really appreciate the info.
Yep, thanks.
Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, covering college basketball, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. Coming back next, $10 billion bet on the tournament. $10 billion, according to the American Gaming Association. Next, SB Nation Radio.